Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. Yes, I am Andy.
And I am Alistair George William Trombley Virtual Matthews.
Let's and see. Alistair. Yeah,
crude oil gravy. Think about that.
I mean, I do love the idea of crude gravy. I mean, it feels like gravy is the sort of the crude oil of the
culinary
cooking
world.
The culinary world.
Do you think
yeah.
you could refine gravy into different levels?
I don't know a lot about crude oil.
Yeah,
but I imagine it has the texture and the consistency of gravy.
But we could fuck it up. Oh, I think that this is like it's an attack from environmentalists. You know, those people that people think are really annoying. But then, you know, because they're like, hey, let's not destroy the world for money.
It's obviously not going well.
But it's an attack from them
on
oil reserves where they go and they put flour in the oil.
Oh, yeah, great.
And they whisk it in.
A little bit of red wine.
A little bit of red wine and some rosemary.
A bit of tomato sauce for sweetness and that extra tang.
Well, I don't know. I've never done that, but I mean,
I'm just describing the song "How to Make Gravy" by Paul Kelly.
All right. Well, I've never listened to that song.
You say that with a little bit of like indignation anyone would even think that you would listen
around,
to that song.
It's been around a lot, and I think I swear I've probably opened up Spotify with the intention of trying to listen to it, and I've just never got around to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't think any guy with music who's singing a song I think could help me in any way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no,
I
completely get it.
I don't think some guy has the answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that many people are going to How to Make Gravy saying this is where the answers are at.
No.
But, you know, there is some beautiful stuff about that song.
Sure, maybe.
Yeah. But you're right. Like, if you've had time to learn an instrument, chances are you haven't been contemplating the deep questions of existence as deeply as somebody who has no musical ability whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a distraction. I'm going to get my philosophical ponderings from somebody who hasn't wasted 10,000 hours, because we know that's how long it takes to master a musical instrument.
That's right. And we do, and we are complimenting the name of the singer of that song,
Paul.
Yeah. Okay. Now, was there a sketch idea in this? Oh wait. Is a crude gravy? Is that an idea?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to imagine a. Alistair, here I go again, right? We've got steampunk. We've got our copper punk idea. We've got penis punk, the one that we came up with, where everything is powered by penis technology.
Was that you had to pull on them?
Gravy punk. Instead of having the fossil fuels powered growth that we've had over the last 100 years, instead it's all built on gravy. And you know, we're refining gravy to get high octane gravy and to use in our aircraft.
You know what's really interesting about gravy?
Performance vehicles.
Do you think of bread? It's like water gravy.
Hang on.
You know what I mean?
Bread
is water gravy.
Bread is water gravy. Alistair, I'm going to need some time with this one.
Because, well, like, you know, I'm a big, like, water versus oil kind of guy.
Yeah.
Right? I consider that, you know, of the natural world, I think that that's the, you know, the Capulets and the whatever the other ones are. The Amulets, the Anthropocene.
Yeah, Romulans.
Romulans, yeah, whatever. Hmm. And so oil, you know, you mix that with gravy and heat it a bit. And I'm sorry, oil, you mix that with flour and you heat it a little bit, you get gravy.
Yes.
Right? Water, you mix that with flour and you heat it a little bit, you get bread. You know?
Yep.
So,
okay.
So bread is water gravy. Is a water-based gravy.
Yeah, mathematically that makes perfect sense. Just cause, I can't argue with that on any level. I mean?
Like, just because a gravy
is
solid, that doesn't mean that it's not gravy. I mean, if you leave gravy overnight on the stove, that will go solid as well.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's just an oil bread. That's what gravy is. It's an oil bread.
I mean, I think there probably are oil breads.
That was a really Luke McGregor R just then that you did. There probably already are
oil breads, right? Like, is a papadum an oil bread? I feel like, you know, maybe a roti, that might be an oil bread. I don't know.
I think there's probably already a bit of oil in all bread.
Yeah, and there's probably water in those ones as well. You reckon water?
Yeah. I mean, I've made a roti, some kind of roti or some kind of naan type thing that was just basically flour and yogurt.
That really excites me.
Yeah.
I love that. I love hearing that.
It was very interesting. But then you could somehow, even after it's cooked and it looks like bread, you eat it and there's like an aftertaste where you're like, I am eating yogurt. It just tastes like bread.
It was yogurt the entire time.
It was you're eating it and it tastes like bread, but then it's after you're like, wait, no, that was yogurt. I just had yogurt.
What, this is a great new game show called You Just Ate Yogurt, right? You know, after the success of Is It Cake, right? It's a bunch of foods, right? There's maybe six or seven of them. One of them's got yogurt in it. And you got to eat them all. You try and guess which one you think has yogurt in it.
Wait, what are the options of the things? Like, what are the things? Is it just like
different foods? Like, some of them have been cooked with yogurt. Some of them haven't.
What about this?
The more I describe it, the less funny it seems.
Okay, what about this? Okay, there's three contestants behind a podium, right? There's a host, just like a cake. Okay, they lift the big curtain. There's three separate motorbikes there, right?
Okay.
Now, one of the motorbikes
is yogurt.
Has had yogurt rubbed all over it, right? But it's not so thick that it's like noticeable. But you can.
Wow! So that means it's very thin.
Well, but then. There's three contestants, okay, and then they over different rounds they take different turns at this, but one gets to go have a look at it, one can smell it, and one can lick it.
I feel like lick is your lifeline, right?
Yeah.
There might be multiple rounds, but I think if you're having to lick the thing to find out if it's yogurt, that means you're on the ropes, okay, and you only get to use one lick per episode.
Yeah, I think there's three rounds. You get one lick, one look, and one smell, one sniff.
It's the lick, look, and sniff.
And then if they lick it, right, and because it's always the licker that goes last.
Yeah.
Looker goes first, sniffer goes second, licker goes last, right? and then they lick it and they give it to, and they're basing which one they're going to lick. They only get to lick one, too. So they're using the info from the other two to judge which one they're going to lick.
That's amazing. And you know what? I've never seen somebody licking a motorbike on television.
Right. One brown
this
will be
could be what we need.
One brown will be fridges. One brown will be skateboards. You know, one could be shoes. Right? Imagine that. They're all white shoes. And you're suddenly, you're like, you got a keen eye. You're looking for, you know, like a chunk of strawberry or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, you got a real keen eye. You've got to watch Eric on this round. He's got a real keen eye. You know, he'll be peeking around, see if he can spot any telltale chunks of strawberry.
And then if you lick it and you're like, I think this is the motorbike. I think this is the motorbike that had yogurt smeared on it. And then they say,
yeah,
you just ate yogurt. Carl?
Write it down.
Carl, you just ate yogurt.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I knew you'd have a better spin on this than me, Alistair.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's bad.
There's no need for any kind of modesty Alistair. It's Andy, a funnier idea.
I'm only trying.
You've got people looking, licking, and sniffing motorbikes.
I want you to know
that's funny.
I wasn't driven by funniness. I was driven by making it different enough from Is It Cake so that we could actually pitch this to Netflix, who's looking for something new, and we know they're hungry for something.
Right.
And I think
I do love the idea of somebody, there's a genuine emergency, right? They're trying to get their wife to the hospital to give birth, or maybe they're trying to escape from a collapsing bridge, right? I love the idea of people jumping into a car, grabbing the steering wheel, and discovering that the steering wheel is in fact yogurt. They pull on it. There's an outer shell of some sort of, you know, solid crust like you would have on a creme brulee, but that cracks and crumbles away, and the steering wheel turns to yogurt in their hands. I think that would be just a wonderful thing to watch.
And then I guess we come out with a car with a regular steering wheel and go, oh, well, you can take your wife now. That's okay. We were just having a bit of fun.
This is a car with a regular steering wheel.
It's a car with a regular steering wheel. Then they get in. Guess what? Another yogurt one. No, we were just joking that time as well.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Yeah, that second yogurt steering wheel car, you've got to wear that one. That's your responsibility.
You should have instead robbed a car driving by. If you were really in a hurry. The only thing that's hard is being able to catch people in those really like desperate moments like that, you know?
It is
to
difficult.
Have a camera crew there and have difficult. Everybody available at all times.
Well, I mean, the collapsing bridge is okay. That's something that you can engineer.
That's true.
You know? Quite literally.
It feels like it's the opposite of engineering, isn't it? Collapsing
reverse
a bridge.
Engineering.
Oh, sure. It's a dark. It's a dark.
Macabre
art. Reverse.
The cruel and arcane practices in which man was not meant to dabble.
Reverse engineering. You wouldn't let a contrabassoonist play the bassoon, would you? It was a joke that was entirely for us.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's just like it's short enough that it doesn't matter. You can keep that one in there for you.
But also, Alistair, it earns its place by having the word contrabassoonist in it, right? It doesn't matter at that point. If you put the word contrabassoonist in something, it can stick around.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I was thinking today my child was using the word, was it abominable or was it, abomination?
Wow.
That's a no, but yes, but he's an abomination. And I go, that's a funny word. Abomination. It's got the word nation in it. And yeah, it almost feels like abomination. It almost feels like you're saying bombastic.
Sure.
Bombastic. I don't know. There's so much fun in abomination.
Mm. Terrific. I mean, do you know, was your child engaging in some sort of religious hate speech?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, no, it was more about some kind of creature that we were going to have to battle in our play game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
You know, more like an abominable snowman is an abomination.
Sure. Of course. Are there any other abominable creatures?
Let's see. Abominable Bigfoot. Abominable. Mm. I'm just trying to see how any of them go.
Yeah.
Abominable postman.
So far, they're all
postman
very abominable. Good. Abominable postman. That works for me. Abominable. What about this? Abominable showman.
Oh yeah, the abominable showman does feel good, doesn't it? Who is this guy? I mean, let's say you see this guy off Broadway, you're at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and you see this show called The Abominable Showman.
I think it's a great title for something. I think I know. It could be your next comedy
what
festival
is this
show.
What is this show?
Well, I mean, some would say that the abominable showman is a creature that exists in the mountains, right? And that hikers have come back having witnessed him do the performance of a lifetime, okay? But when they send, you know, nobody's ever been able to capture a photograph of it, because he has a policy of no mobile phones
in
his shows.
It's just a guy who's always doing shows in the woods for people.
I think he's a kind of a beast. I think he's a hideous snow beast.
Okay,
right. I think in a way, yeah. But I think he's disgusting.
Yeah.
And he lives out there. Yeah. And he's horrific, but he can put on a show.
But he can dance.
And he lives for
it. He can sing. He can act. He can deliver a joke.
Mm.
You know, and I think, you know, telling a couple of hikers who are like dressed up looking real nice, they look ridiculous when he's like wearing furs and he's covered in soot and stuff.
So that's funny.
Yeah.
Real nice looking hikers.
You know, a couple of Richies. You know, they're in head-to-toe tinselate.
Isn't it crazy that back in the day when people would say, oh, I'm going to change for dinner, you know, and they would put on their dinner outfits, it would be a fancier set of clothes. Feels like if you're getting, you know, if I was going to change to eat dinner, it would only be into something worse so that I could make more of a mess.
Yeah, and the way that I imagine you dress at home, like there's not that far to go.
There's not much room.
There's not much room
there's
to go down.
There's not many lower rungs on that ladder.
Yeah, because aren't you wearing like sort of like paint stained overalls a lot of the time? Or like coveralls? Is that what you wear? Feel like you dress like a mechanic at your house.
You know what? What I do is I wear my best clothes all the time. And so they very quickly become my worst clothes. I have a strategy, basically. everything reaches the same low point.
Yeah,
it's a kind of entropy.
Okay.
While I am dressing up in my best clothes, they're also my worst clothes.
Do you ever do like handiwork in the nude?
It's a good idea. Yeah. Sure. I mean, it feels like it'd be good for painting a house, right? Like, paint a house naked, you get drips on yourself, sure. But then what's the worst that's going to happen? You get it dries on you, and then you have that one of life's great joys, which is of peeling paint off your skin.
Yeah. Well, is there a way
I think that's good.
Is there a way of getting that into like a, you know, like that thing into a, you know, a sketch or like a sketch or like a murder mystery thing, you know, like.
Thought maybe, a strange unit. Yeah.
You know, like, what in like somebody's like love of pulling the paint off of their, I mean, it feels too fingerprinty obvious, you know, right? Love of.
I mean, we already have the key phrase paint stripper, right?
Yeah.
Which can refer to both a highly corrosive liquid that you could use to dissolve paint, but then also suggests maybe a person who takes off their clothes in order to paint, or as they paint, or possibly someone who comes onto stage
covered
with their
paint.
Body covered in paint, and then the perverts in the audience have water pistols full of acetone that they squirt at the person on stage.
It's getting into my pee hole. It's getting into my pee hole. Oh, my pee hole is burning. Quick, put another chemical on there. Spray more paint onto it.
Oh, people have soothing. There's people with tubes of betadine ointment. No, not betadine. What's the other one? Also starts with a B. Maybe it is betadine that they can squirt as well, or Savlon.
And then in case there's an injury, there's some that have squirt guns full of Robitussin so that you can have painkillers that would kick in 1 to 2 hours later.
I love that.
Bit of Robitussin.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Mm.
I only know really about Robitussin from that Chris Rock bit. Robitussin. We never went to the doctors. We just had Robitussin. Scrape my knee. Robitussin. I hit my head. Robitussin. And like, Dad, I broke my bone and the bone's sticking out. Get some old ass Robitussin. Get some tussin in there. Straighten the bone right out. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's great.
Something like that.
It's good gear. While you were talking, it made me think of having painkillers as the third spice on the table. So while you have the grinder of salt and pepper, you also have a grinder there that contains paracetamol that you can grind over the top of your food.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I can't imagine the flavor of pure paracetamol is that good.
Well, all of those pills have like that weird, horrible chemical flavor. But I mean, I haven't seen that seasoned properly. You know,
right,
I haven't seen
course,
it matched
used
with
in
the
right
flavors,
way.
You know.
We shouldn't be trying to hide that flavor. We should be working with it.
Yeah, exactly. I would like to see it like, you know, what, like, okay, sure, it doesn't taste good by itself, but neither does like a, you know, if I had a rock of salt that was that big and I put that on my tongue, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have the best time.
Now, I mean, it is interesting that medicine is a flavor, right? Medicine flavor. That's a thing that we can all, I think, connect with. Could you get pure medicine flavor? It has no active compounds. It doesn't affect your body in any way, but then it just can become part of, you know, what it is that we cook with, right? Well, you can just have some medicine flavor that you can add to anything.
I think that in a way it's sweet, savory, and then medicine. It's like a whole it's a whole new category, because it's like medicine does have a broad range of tastes that are medicine-y. Like if you have like a vitamin C tablet or like a multivitamin tablet, it itself has a medicine-y taste.
True. I mean, vitamin C maybe I would disagree with, as I think vitamin C really does to me taste like oranges or lemon or something.
Sure.
Maybe I'm wrong.
But
maybe they just put orange flavor in the vitamin C that I have been eating.
Yeah, they might do that. But let's say something that is less flavored, something that is not flavored, like a multivitamin tablet that kind of has like, it still tastes like something that's like, does like the inside of a health shop smells.
Yes. Yes. The most disgusting flavor I've ever had in my mouth was when I was sailing and I had really bad seasickness and somebody was like, have these garlic tablets, right?
Yeah, brutal.
Apparently that helps, right? So I had these garlic tablets and I didn't swallow them properly. They didn't go all the way down, right? And they were just somewhere in my throat dissolving.
But there were things like this that you would have reflux. They were like, they've had to make new tablets that are like no reflux like that for garlic tablets.
Right. Because I burped and this flavor came back up into my mouth. And it was so vile.
It's like, it's just, it stops you from vomiting by making you work so hard to not vomit.
Yeah. You're not going to want this to come back up. Yeah. Trust me. Now you have a real incentive.
To keep it down.
Let's make this interesting.
Right, we got to figure out some sketch ideas.
Have we not written anything down, Alistair? I feel like we've had a bunch of stuff coming through.
We've got some stuff.
Pipeline.
I forget that we're searching for five. And so sometimes, you know, because often we fill the page. And so I think sometimes I get scared when there's like three or something like that.
Okay.
You know, but I forget that we're, you know, that's most of the way there.
That's more than 50%.
Have we ever had any garlic themed sketch ideas, do you think? You know, because it's hard to communicate flavor in a sketch, isn't it?
Yeah, well, what's the funniest flavor, do you think?
That you can show visually, or that you can show somebody taste.
Flavor you can see, flavor you can hear, flavor you can feel.
What about this? I don't know what this is exactly, but what if you could make sort of something, a product that's like a dog shit, but made out of full plant materials? Like what's it like a dog shit for people who don't have pets?
Yeah,
that they can
wow.
walk around and leave on people's lawns and footpaths and things like that. So like you could have a full garlic shit.
I think it's very funny to see somebody walking along, right? Possibly they are walking their dog, okay? Then they get a plastic bag out of their pocket. The dog hasn't done a shit. They undo the bag. There's a shit in the bag.
And they leave it.
It might be a real dog shit,
yeah.
Right? And they leave it there on the ground and they walk away, right? I think it's a very funny thing to have, you know, maybe a trait for a bad man in a movie is that he hates one particular person. So wherever his dog shits, he's very conscientious picking up the dog shit, but then he will always take it and then drop it off.
Yeah, or he takes the ones from his backyard that his dog's done and then brings them out into the community.
Yeah, that's really good. But I think there is a pleasing reveal as well too. But you're right, yeah, if he's done it in the backyard, no, that works, yeah. You don't even necessarily need to see that bit.
Yeah.
What about this? A guy who empties his dog poo bags, right, and reuses them. He puts them in the dishwasher. And he it's a reusable dog poo bag made with that silicone stuff. You can put it in the dishwasher and use it again and again and again. Just run it through the cycle with the rest of your cutlery. And
that's really good. I think that's a really good.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, man.
I think I would love to see that.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The ad for that? Yeah. the guy keeps taking a sip of water throughout the ad and asking his wife, is there something in this water? What?
They must have changed how they treat the water.
Yeah, not.
He keeps putting it to his nose.
He's just not put it together.
Smelling the, smelling the cup.
I think it's very funny to me, the idea that he has no idea.
Yeah.
It's so obvious what's happened. Mm.
And
I think we need to change the filter.
He's like he's putting plates away and smelling. He's like, ugh. I mean, yeah, I guess you could. I mean, if you were the person who was selling that product, you could then upsell people on a new, this is in real life, they would do this on a new dishwasher tablet that was like extra better.
Yeah,
for this, you know, because it's hard to get in on that market when there's not a direct reason.
Yes,
but you could be
now this doesn't get much more direct.
But the way that because that's where the fun thing would be for the company in the ad trying to tread that line of like it's fine to use in the dishwasher and you don't need any special thing, but also if you want a special thing. If that'll put your mind at ease, this thing goes the extra step just to ease your mind. Yeah. But I want you to know you don't need that because it's fine.
Back when we did our Wing Attack show, did we have a sketch in there? Maybe it got cut, about your booking your flight, and for an extra $5, they will make sure that nobody pisses in your food, right?
Yeah, I feel like we did have something like that at some point, somewhere. I can't remember where we did that.
Yeah, it's like nobody is pissing in your food, but we normally don't check. But if you would like us to check that they definitely aren't, that's an extra $5.
Yeah, we'll use our extra piss detecting device.
Yeah.
The airline's been working very hard on this piss detector.
Well, it's not cheap. It's a very advanced piece of technology. No, we don't think we need it. We don't think people are pissing in there, but it's for your peace of mind if you are worried about it.
We didn't make it for our own food. We're going to sell this on later on.
Yeah.
We made it for people who are worried about this kind of stuff. And if you're one of those people, well, you can use the services of our wonderful device.
Has it ever happened? No, we don't think so. But we didn't have the machine to check until now. If you don't want me to check, I'll just put the machine away. That's fine.
If you prefer I don't check, don't check the box. But if you check, I'll check.
That's right. That's the slogan.
You check, I'll check.
Mm.
Andy, would it be crazy for us to go into three words from a listener?
I don't think it would, given where my brain is at.
Where is your
levels
brain at,
wise? It's not in a good way.
Where's your
very tired?
Where's your head at?
Where is your head
at? If you're a person listening to this, feel free to send us in some three words or some side tank ideas as well. Just, you know, if you're a Patreon supporter, go ahead, do it. Send it in through the Patreon. I think we'd love that.
Do it. Send it in.
Can always use. It's good to have an amount. And you know what? Today, Andy, we have a person who had never submitted words before. Submit words. Supporter Aiden.
Aiden, I'm so proud of you for taking this step. Thank you.
Aiden Kane Earl.
Aiden Kane Earl?
Yeah.
That's incredible. It's
three names.
Wow.
Maybe I shouldn't be using Aiden's whole name. But I mean, Aiden. Let's just call him Aiden K. Earl. So Aiden has sent in three words, Andy, from a listener. And I believe that listener is Aiden K. Earl. Would you like to try to guess what the first word is?
Okay, the first word is undercut.
Undercut, Andy? Definitely not. You are very wrong. The first word is kunoksa.
Sure.
Kinoxa.
Okay. Second word,
don't you want to know what this first word is?
Not really. No, go on. Tell me.
So I've had to have it translated. I went kinoxa in English because I couldn't find any meaning. And then it says, there is, so the word means there is a time. But it's in the maybe Xhosa language, Xhosa.
Mm.
Right? And that is, hang on, let me, oh no, it's Khoza. Khoza language.
Okay.
And it's a Bantu language of the Khoza related to Zulu and spoken by over 7 million people. It is one of the official languages of South Africa.
Wow. Okay. Right.
Okay.
There is a time.
There is a time.
Okay, second word, uppercut.
Second word, uppercut? No.
No.
No, I'm so sorry. It is, let's see if I can find a way of, I don't know how to pronounce it, but let's say it's Kizilbash. Kizilbash.
Mm.
Which is, of course, it's a diverse array of mainly Turkoman Shia militant groups that flourished in Azerbaijan.
Okay. Yeah. Militia groups flourished in Azerbaijan. I love the name Azerbaijan.
Oh, man.
Might be my favorite country name.
Yeah, Azerbaijan. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I really like it a lot. And then the third word, okay. Andy?
Third word is gut punch.
Feels like it's close, but it's cantankerous.
Cantankerous? Wow. Is there some sort of common theme with the letter K or something in those words? Or?
Oh, well, I guess they don't know. Wait.
Oh, no, cantankerous is a C.
Cantankerous. And, a K and the other the one middle. Started with a Q.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a time.
So they are all K sounds, though.
Mm.
Okay.
And was it militia groups? Did you say?
Yes, it's a diverse array of mainly Turkoman Shia militant groups that flourished in Azerbaijan, Anatolia, the Armenian Highlands, the Caucasus, and Kurdistan from the late 15th century onwards, and contributed to the foundation of the Safavid dynasty in early modern Iran.
Right. Okay. Wow. Okay. Militia groups.
So let's see. So
cantankerous. I mean, there is that problem, and I think that it's such a classic problem that you witness in Russia and Ukraine with the Wagner group of mercenaries, right? That like you have like, okay, we have this highly paid, highly violent group that are working for us, okay? They're working for us because we're paying them to work for us. And then, like, as soon as things don't go their way, you're like, oh, no, this armed mob that we created.
Sure. Well, what about this?
How could this have backfired on us?
Yeah, this group of people that are just willing to do anything for money.
Yeah. They have no values.
Yeah. Well, what about like you are a person that is brought in to, you know, like a government has been toppled and you have been chosen by the people or by, you know, the militant groups in power to become the new leader. And it's a great honor, right? But on the day that it happens, you're really grumpy.
Oh, no.
You got a headache, your throat's a bit sore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they get you there.
Didn't get much sleep the night before.
Yeah, and you've got to give a speech in front of, you know, all the people at the, you know, the burning parliament and everything like that.
Mm.
You're like, all right, go. You go, shh, shh, wait, shh. Do you want me to talk or not? You know, and then I think anything or like anything where you are being awarded something, like, you know, let's say you're being awarded for like a lifetime, lifetime achievement award, but on a moment that you're really grumpy. This is Al's new comedy direction. It's a, at the moment you're really grumpy.
What's it, where's it coming from, do you think? Hey? What's inspiring this?
It's mostly my life.
Do you think that maybe Putin's problem is that he hasn't had a big nap, hasn't had a good sleep?
Maybe he's been a bit grumpy for a while.
He could have been a bit grumpy. He's not unhinged. He's not angry. People are always trying to diagnose these world leaders, and people are always with Trump saying he's senile, and with you know, with Kim Jong,
Joe Biden,
and with, you know, with Vladimir, they're always like, oh, he's really sick. He's on death's door. Oh, look, he hasn't been seen in public for 48 hours. We think, you know, this. What's going to happen when he's when he disappears? There's going to be a power struggle. And they're like, fucking hell, calm down. That's never the case, right?
Yeah.
Like, people are just desperate to diagnose something or to have some speculative story to tell. What if it's something about a person being a bit grumpy or has not have a, had a good sleep?
Or we think that he might have a new cat.
It's keeping him up at night?
I don't know, maybe. We think there could be a bat in his house. And he's not able to get enough sleep. When, based on the thing.
He's exhibiting all the characteristics of a man who has a bat in his house.
And we think
we've analysed these photographs and we can see the marks on his forefinger. It looks like he's been holding a long pole that you might try and use to usher a bat out of an open window.
The way that his hair is, it looks like he's maybe been putting a towel over his head to stop the bat landing in his hair while he sleeps, and it's been pressing his hair down because he's worried about those little fingers that they've got getting taut.
We're going now to a psychologist who has a theory about
the bat psychologist.
I think that's a sketch idea. Yeah. Just stupid, speculative media cycle analysis. You've got to very specifically, Alistair, you've got to write down the bat thing because that's an important element of the story as far as I'm concerned. Yep. Maybe the most important.
I'll just write down the word bat and I will remember, Andy.
What about, I mean, the bat idea is something like – would you have a sketch where some friends stage an intervention for another friend who has a bat in their house and is not doing anything to get the bat out? Right. They are tired all the time. They are grumpy. It is affecting their life. They're missing work and this kind of thing. It's like it's a drug problem, but all it is that there's a bat in their
house.
What if
it's just somebody who's letting bugs crawl all over them?
An
intervention. It's the same idea, but they just let bugs crawl on them all the time. And you go, we're worried about you because you've got bugs crawling all over your body. Not all over, but just like some walking across the face.
I think that's the person that this person would clarify. They're like, they're not all over my body.
Like there's maybe one or two on my face right now. Like that.
Yeah.
And many of them are on my clothes, actually, which is
shows how little you know about about bugs. They wouldn't crawl under my T-shirt. That's not a safe place for them.
Yeah, it feels like you don't know anything. It feels like you're really talking from a place of ignorance.
Yeah.
I think...
Sure, Alistair.
I mean...
Write down the word bat and write down the word bug. I think we're done. Bat bugs.
But do you think
I got bat bugs.
Do you think it is like... Because I mentioned being grumpy and stuff like that, and I feel like it's actually not socially acceptable to mention being grumpy. Like, like, is it too silly? Is it too childish to mention grumpiness?
Well, it's a silly sounding word.
Grumpy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is it the same as experiencing ennui, or is ennui different? That's more sort of...
Ennui is kind of like a, in my...
More an existential thing.
Yeah, it's like kind of like being depressed in an existential way, I would say.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a fancy French depression.
Well, like, what do you call it when you're just kind of feeling like irritable at home?
I say I'm feeling off.
And you find yourself snapping at people more than you normally would and making little comments that are just a little bit like more like you hear yourself do it and you go, I shouldn't have said that. That was pointless. That was petty.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, I like to think it doesn't happen to me often, but when I do, I say I have a case of the Alistairs.
Oh, no. That's the worst. Well, I feel like this is what happens when you reveal a part of yourself. This could be one of our in jokes that I have no ability to regulate my emotions.
And you're perfect, terrible at demonstrating empathy. You're
perfect
empathy.
In every way. Perfectly regulated. All right, we'll take you through the sketch ideas.
Oh, Alistair, I'm so sorry.
We got crude.
You've done really well. Oh,
thank you, Andy. That's all I needed. That's the boost I needed. We've got crude gravy. And it could be, there's a chance that this is
That's
attached.
It's not crude like it has a crew. Okay, I know you can have gravy in a boat, but that
gravy
doesn't mean that you need a crew to man that gravy
boat.
No, but
that's a fun restaurant, isn't it? It's an all gravy restaurant.
Oh wow! Oh, right? Shit!
You just come and you get served bowls.
Is it on a boat?
No.
Oh, okay, could be on one of those like pontoons down by the river,
like a brewery or something like that.
Okay.
But it's just a big vat in the middle of the room, and all of the people who serve the gravy are in the vat with the gravy.
Wow.
And they got paddles and they got access to bowls. And
I presume they're wearing waders.
Sure. If that makes you feel better, but
they're culinary grade waders. They're food grade.
Yeah. They're wearing culinary grade clothes. You know, they've got shoes that they only wear in gravy. Right? What, are you worried that the gravy's going to have some animal product in there? Andy, that's what gravy is. And you come, and there's just like, there's a guy, like, you get a bowl of gravy, different, you know, there's three bowl sizes. And then there's a guy on the side who gives you bread, which is water gravy. And he's standing on the bread. He's standing on a pallet of bread. And he's squishing all the bread. They call it the flatbread, but it's actually not a flatbread. Yeah. They're actually beautiful, bouncy rolls.
Just regular bread, but he squashes it.
And then sometimes if he picks one up and it looks too puffy, like puffy, he smashes it in his hand and flattens it out. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Andy. Oh, yeah, I got to get through the rest of the sketch ideas. Okay, then there's the You Just Ate Yogurt game show. And then there's the
one of these motorbikes has been smeared with yogurt. Yeah, go on.
And there's the Abominable Showman. It's the guy up in the mountains who, if sometimes hikers encounter him and he puts on an unbelievable performance. And we got the Paracetamol as the third seasoning in culinary things. And we got the guy who takes the dog shits on walks. He takes them on walks and drops them in people's yards.
He might not even have a dog.
Sure.
Not sure.
Sure. Then we have the guy who takes... Oh, no, wait. Then we got vegetable dog shits for people who don't have pets. And this can be, you know, you could get a carrot dog shit. This is just company that blend.
Can you eat them? Are you supposed to eat them?
No, you can eat them if you want to. But I think they are for just they are just made for being able to put out.
Just for having around. You know, yeah, like,
I
mean,
I guess if you think about it, dog shits do serve, like all shit, a sort of environmental purpose.
Mm.
So maybe these people have it in their heads that these are like a healthier shit to have on the footpath.
Yeah. What is your, how do you deal with it when you tread on a dog shit? What's your policy?
I usually go for a grass or a sand or something like that, and then just
try and wipe it on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes along the curb.
Yeah, I'll do a curb.
The edge of the curb. Because you've got to get it out of that bit in the arch of your shoe.
But that's why
if you've got a high heel.
Yeah, that's why I go for a leafy thing, because I feel like they all act as little hands, you know?
But do you ever go so far as to, like, take the shoe off, get a little stick, and, like, scrape it out of the notches,
I don't believe in the stick.
Scrub it with a brush.
Yeah, I mean, if it comes to a point where I get back home and it's still a nightmare, then I will do that. I don't know if I'll get a brush, but maybe like a paper towel or something, that's something disposable.
Sure.
And then we have the recyclable dog shit bags, and you clean it in the dishwasher in the ad.
Yeah.
And then the speculating Putin is grumpy because he has a bat in his house.
Yeah, okay.
Then we have intervention for a guy who has bugs crawling on him. And then I haven't written this down, but technically we have a gravy restaurant.
You got to write down that gravy restaurant. Okay, I think that might be my favorite idea.
Okay, crude.
There's a new gravy place that's opened up in town. I'm taking my girlfriend along.
Great.
You know, they stand in the gravy.
Stand in the gravy. Oh, sort of like making grapes in France and stuff like that. Oh yeah, but they're wearing shoes.
Yeah, like it's just to serve it out.
Yeah, they just. But it also helped keep the gravy warm and would reduce.
Maybe they have to walk around in the gravy, like in a sort of a tornado type motion, to keep the gravy moving.
Keep it moving, or else it doesn't like create a skin on top.
Yeah, so it doesn't set like concrete in a cement truck.
It gets a skin. It gets a skin. That's what they say. Why are you guys in the gravy? Because it gets a skin if you don't keep moving it.
Don't worry. These are my gravy shoes.
This is how people have always done it at this restaurant.
I only wear these shoes in gravy.
These are my gravy shoes. Yeah. I wear them here, or like I have a little kiddie pool of gravy sometimes at my house for barbecues. And I wear them in there.
Alistair.
We did it.
Yeah.
Somehow we still made it to 51 minutes, even though we've...
Oh, yeah. No.
All right, here we go.
Dunk, 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 dunk. Thank you so much for listening to the thing. Dunk. Far out.
You know what? Everything's good. Andy's about to go on a trip. So, wish him well.
Exciting.
Send him a tweet saying... Hope you have a nice trip. So that Andy,
send me an X.
Yeah, send Andy an X on Twitter, and then if he's looking at his phone during that time, you know that things have gotten bad on the holiday.
I'll be looking. I look at my phone at during the happiest times of my life as well.
All right, okay,
don't worry.
Well,
and
we
love
you. See you
later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.